But it was good, huh?
I liked it a lot, but I just, all the movies, they always go too long for me. And it's probably just because I'm old. So people probably couldn't consume enough Spider-Man, so they probably didn't mind that it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We won't ruin anything. End, and then they end again, they end again. I'm like, it was over.
Did you watch the post-credit scenes?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah, you have to stay for the post-credit scenes.
Why do they do that, though?
Because it's
I get it. I'm a fan, you know, of all the Marvel movies, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck, we got to watch all... Like, can you guys just get to it right now and then do all the credits? Because, like, nobody's reading the names.
I think it just maybe shows who's a real fan. You know what I mean? Because some people, you see, you watching and you're like, you see the credits and then you're like, who's going to leave? Who doesn't realize?
Was the crowd fired up when you went?
Oh, super fired up. Same. Like, there were people screaming when certain things happened in the movie.
People got super excited. That was cool.
But I won't say because Andrew hasn't seen it yet.
And I didn't know anything.
And I didn't. We're live. We don't want to get people pissed off at us for spoilers.
People should go check it out.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, check that out eventually, but for sure watching The Matrix tonight.
Oh, God.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I need to
check that out.
It's good. I told some of my homies that I was going to go to the theater and watch it with them, and I still will, but it came out on HBO, so I was just like, I need to see this now.
Mm.
You know?
How about that when someone watches something without you? Does that happen in your household, Andrew?
Yeah, with my daughter, Jasmine. I'm just like, did you watch this? Like, no. Okay. And then she'll start to point something out that hasn't happened yet. I'm like, I thought you didn't watch it.
Oh.
And then she just like kind of grins a little bit. She hasn't done it in a long time, but
that's pretty
great. When she was younger, she would do it all the time.
Dude, my wife is a like TV junkie and she watches everything. I don't even know how she, I just don't even understand how she has the hours in the day.
Cause her productivity level's like up here, dude.
Yeah. And she's able to like leave it on while she's like totally doing something different.
That's the shit I can't do.
And she'll be like, oh, this was amazing. And then I'm like, oh, like, aren't we supposed to watch it together?
You know? That does suck, yeah.
Yeah, like she left me in the dust. Leaves me in the dust all the time. That ain't fair.
Yeah, so okay, Mark. So there is, so just like Instagram stories, YouTube has stories. Ooh. Just like Reels, YouTube has shorts.
What's the time limit on that video, though? Is that 2 minutes?
I don't know. I think it has to be under 1 minute.
Under 1 minute.
Because if it's over a minute, it turns into a regular YouTube video.
One has to be shot horizontal, one has to be shot diagonally, and one has to be shot vertical, right?
Diagonal. Nobody fucks with diagonal.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to. That's, fuck everybody.
It has to be next, because it's best of both worlds.
Yep.
And then you have regular uploads, anything above a minute. And then you have live feeds, which is what we're doing right now.
What?
And then you have premieres, which is like kind of honey-dicking people into thinking it's a live feed, but it's actually a pre-recorded thing that you get to watch together.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Now the audience knows.
What about honey pussy? Can we change the...
It's honey potting. Yeah.
Honey dick. I don't know.
This honey dicking sounds funny. But yeah, people do it does think... sound funny.
I mean, I do like honey.
Yeah.
So you might trick me with it, you know.
It's carnivore,
more than
right?
once, even. Who knows? Oh, fell for it again.
Fool me once. Yeah. But yeah, so the premiere is like, I thought it was kind of like a known thing that it's not live, but people will ask questions as if it is live. And it's like, bruh, like it's a premiere, not a live. And then, of course, everyone gets upset that, you know, it's a premiere.
That they got bamboozled.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What about, what's the difference between Reels and the regular stuff that you post on Instagram?
I don't know, because I haven't been on Instagram, and seem you'll have to help me out.
I'm wearing my sweatshirt backwards.
Nice. It's a fashion statement.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been on Instagram in a long time,
and
I posted something just as a post, and every time I go back to it, it looks like a reel now. Like everything looks the exact same. I can't tell the difference between what's what.
Instagram's trying to become TikTok, but a reel is Instagram's combat for TikTok. It's under 1 minute. You can put music on it. It's and your reels will generally get more views than normal videos.
And there's like less content to it, or less like of a write up. You can write on it, but there's like less usually, right? Mm-hmm.
It's less. It's literally set up to look like TikTok, and it's set up to have the ability to potentially go viral if it's good, like a TikTok. Like there's an IG reels. If you go on Instagram, you can go to the reels and all you're going to be seeing is reels through your feed. Mm. And it kind of is very similar to working like TikTok.
Yeah, because I'm like, I think I'll throw this up as in reels. I'm like, I don't know what that means though. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, now I got a little bit better idea. And you can set stuff up in reels very similar to all the stuff, all the features you can use on TikTok. You can like write on the screen and put music to it and do whatever.
Exactly.
Which one has the best interface?
App-wise?
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, which one's the easiest to create content for?
Ooh. Well, I mean, honestly, TikTok's very easy because it's short-form content. It's meant to be shorter. Depends on what you do, but both of them, if you create content on IG Reels, you can reuse that on TikTok. And the same thing, if you use it on TikTok, you use it on IG Reels. So I think TikTok's a great starting place for anyone who's trying to make some content, then to put it on IG, then work your way up to putting it on YouTube. Boom, chaka, boom, boom. You're good to go.
Does your content get suppressed, though, if you're just saving a file
Take
or whatever?
Take the watermark off.
It's the watermark, right?
It's the watermark. Okay. Yeah, the watermark that TikTok has will, IG will be like, nah, fuck you. And they won't, like, push it out. So take the watermark off or just save the video before you post it and you're good to go.
Interesting.
I didn't know we'd be talking about social media.
Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My Instagram's been popping pretty good lately.
It has been popping.
Yeah, it's been going.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's some of the TikToking and some of the power projecting that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the running. I think people are digging the running. Dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all kind of linking together. Yeah, it's been kind of interesting because I've tried other stuff in the past and sometimes people don't dig it. You know, I also like, I have like a weird thing where I want to like give people good content. I want to give them good information, but I don't always want to give people like what they're used to seeing or what they want even.
Yeah.
I know that I could post stuff about food kind of all day long and it will always do really well or cooking, but I just, some stuff I just like, even like going to Metallica with my wife, it's like, we took a couple pictures here and there and stuff, but like, it's more just for us. You know, I don't want to like, I don't always want to share that stuff. And then same thing with stuff with kids, I have to like, let them know, like, I'm not using this for anything. I just want the memory, you know, to pop up, you know, a year or two from now. And
right.
Hopefully they'll thank me when they're older that we have some pictures of, you know, A, B or C, but who knows, but I don't always like to share all that shit all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I actually just picked up a sick ass, really old ass camera. And when I say really old, it's still very digital. It's like, it was part of Fujifilm's like second round of cameras, of newer cameras, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's so cool because I went to take prints or to get prints done for a really big, awesome Christmas present. And I realized that everything that was being printed was all off of a camera, not off of the phone. Everything on the phone just kind of stayed on the phone. So I wanted an actual I wanted an actual camera.
Didn't seem as dicked as
it was. I wanted an actual camera to take pictures, but you know, there's no internet on this camera, right? So all these photos, they're just for us. And I think that's super important. Mm. A little chilly over there, huh?
Brother, I like it. Back of my head's cold, so I'm switching to a beanie.
Yeah. It's cold in here. It's like 59
it's
degrees.
Freezing in here.
Yeah. Like, I had my sweatshirt off for the beginning of the podcast. I'm like, nah, actually, you know what? That's not a good idea.
Yeah, new studio is fucking cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent a lot of money on a lot of things except for the heat.
I hope. Does it get hot in here in the summer?
Let's hope so.
Oh, hopefully.
Or
not,
let's see if it does.
Not too hot.
It won't
hot and sweaty. We do have climate control somewhere, but we haven't messed with it at all yet.
You got to ask the guy.
And I'm supposed to bring in a heater, but. Let's face it, I'll keep forgetting it.
Right? You will.
Anyway, we're talking today about injuries and how you guys can get more injured during your workouts, since I know how much we all love getting hurt. Now, you know what? When you get hurt, unfortunately, you're really reduced to like a whole lot of nothing sometimes, you know, depending on how badly you've gotten hurt. I know for myself, with some like tweaks in the back and things like that, I mean, yes, there's still stuff you can do in the gym, but if the injury is painful when you're like not even really doing anything,
mm-hmm.
it's probably not the best idea to try to push forward and go to the gym, even though you could kind of say, hey, like focus on some of the stuff that you can do. But if you're still in pain, you want to take your time. But main focus of today is how to just avoid it altogether in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I want to first off say that I don't really believe that you can avoid all tweaks all the time. I think they happen like for reasons that we can't always have like a diagnostic like record of, you know, maybe you slept a little bit weird and then maybe you went to go in the gym and you went to just put a 45-pound plate on the side of the bar and you're like, like, what's that? Like something weird happened to your neck or your back. Yeah. And you're like, so there are weird things like that, that I don't know how much control that we have over those things. But I will also say that the more conscious you are of all the movements that you do throughout the day, and even just the way you're laying down to watch TV or the way that you're looking at your phone and the way that you're lifting, these are all really important things. I think we know about the gym. Like we know, like we're not supposed to like really round our back a ton for a lot of exercises. Like we kind of know some general rules, brace yourself, things like that. But it's when we're out of the gym where we kind of take it for granted. We get in and out of the car and we do stuff where we're not really thinking. And maybe we're kind of in a rush and we didn't think like, oh, maybe I got out of the car awkwardly. Maybe that slightly tweaked my knee. And then maybe when I went to go squat that day, I blamed it on the squat, but I was really kind of already previously jacked up beforehand.
Yeah. And one of the big things is just like, I think Ben Patrick kind of put it pretty well when he talks about his programming, right? And this programming, the knees over toes stuff, it puts a lot of people in positions that they're not used to being in and working within ranges of motion within their knee that they're not used to touching, right? So his big concept is just like, avoid pain, right? And it's interesting because when you look at that concept and you try to push it towards lifting, bodybuilding, and powerlifting, there's throughout those sports, there's been kind of a culture of the harder it is, the better it is, or you should be working through struggle. You should be working through some pain here and there. And it makes me wonder, because a majority of individuals that are doing both of these things are doing it recreationally. They're doing it because maybe they want to get stronger for themselves and feel better. They're not like a professional powerlifter making money, nor are they a professional bodybuilder making money, right? But they're still putting their body on the line doing certain things, you know? So it's like, if you do avoid pain, like it's like on a day that you're doing some shoulder pressing and for some reason your shoulder's feeling iffy and you're just a guy that's trying to grow, maybe you don't follow your program so strictly that day and increase the load. Maybe you just back off of it and you feel good. But most people, because they're like, I'm trying to grow, I'm trying to get bigger, they're going to push that weight. That's something I used to do. Mm-hmm. But I think that I could have avoided many injuries, many tweaks by just following what my body was obviously telling me. Don't increase the load today, or don't add some weight to that because your lower back, it's a little bit iffy. Mm. But because I was like, oh no, this is on the program, this is what I'm supposed to do, stuck to it, and I regretted it a little bit later.
I think some examples of some stuff that you can try to do, like if you were to go do a workout and you were to do something for your shoulders and the front of your shoulder hurts, maybe move on to another exercise and you're like, oh shit, that same spot still hurts. Mm-hmm. You're still trying to do shoulders. First of all, you can just work some different muscles for the day. Maybe you can do back and maybe that doesn't hurt. Maybe you can train your biceps, your triceps. Maybe you can just shift gears completely. Or maybe you can still work your shoulder, but you're doing things like shrugs and rear delt work and work in your shoulders and the area around the shoulder just in a different way. Maybe you're like, oh, maybe it is time for me to start to do some of those stupid rotator cuff exercises that I've been meaning to do forever. Maybe it's a good time to even just say, well, I wonder how I got hurt in the first place. Maybe it's because my neck and my chest is always tight and it's always kind of pulling my shoulders forward. Mm-hmm. Maybe the shoulders hurt because I'm always on my phone and again, I'm rounded forward all the time. Then I went in the gym and I went to do a bench press where the shoulder has to really kind of open up for you to be able to express full range of motion and full power and everything. And maybe you tweaked your shoulder that way. So if you were to take shoulder exercises, maybe the front hurts, maybe you do something for the back, maybe the back hurts, maybe you do something for the front. And you could apply that to any other muscle group. You go to do a squat and your knee's in tremendous amounts of pain. Could you still do some leg curls? Could you drag the sled forward? Like, could you do things that are a little bit more hamstring dominant? Could you deadlift? You know, sometimes you can deadlift. Sometimes the pain in your knee is too much to even do a deadlift. Could you do a partial range of motion deadlift? Could you do a stiff-legged deadlift? Maybe the knee is so bad that you can't even be on your leg. You can't just have any weight on your leg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could still go over and utilize some of the utility benches in the gym, and you can sit down and do shoulder work and bicep work and do as many things lying down or sitting down as you can possibly think of. So there's always options to kind of look into other things once you kind of identify like something's kind of screwed up.
And there's one big theme that actually falls in line with that. If something, if your knee does feel like it hurts a little bit before you're doing your workout, maybe your elbow's a little bit sore or something, or your elbow doesn't feel that great. Matt Wedding, when we went over to his gym a few years ago, or at Ludus Magnus, he talked about like doing 100 rep tricep press downs or something like that. You know what I mean? To drive blood into that area before bench pressing, because, you know, and Ben Patrick talks about doing partial range of motion, partial range of motion. You're driving into the knees to drive blood into that area. And you get a massive pump in your quad and your knee. And I don't know if he said this or you said this, but it's like getting a pump in that area protects the area a bit, you know? So if you think about this, if your shoulder's feeling kind of wonky, use some lighter load and maybe see if you can drive a pump to that area. Cause it's going to feel much more comfortable. I noticed this a lot for myself with dips. Dips is a movement that like I've been progressing a lot recently, but if I do dips kind of cold and it's like my elbows, everything doesn't feel that great. If I get a bit of a pump in my shoulder, a bit of a pump in my triceps, I can knock out as many dips as I want. It's like night and day. So one of those, a big concept that you can take from this that's going to be super beneficial for you is before doing a certain movement, try to drive blood to that area if it's feeling uncomfortable, or just try to drive blood to that area in general before you put the work into that movement. More blood into that area is also more awareness of what's going on there, but it'll also be more protected before you do whatever you're about to do.
You can utilize partial range of motion for stuff like that too. So if your knee hurts, do some like very, very short squats, you know, like, and take your time with it. And what you'll notice is that once you kind of get a pump, as Nsima's pointing out, like you're now like a little bit protected. There's a lot of blood flow in there. There's a huge difference between having your back be really tight. You know, sometimes we wake up, maybe you ran the day before, maybe you lifted the day before, or maybe you're sick. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that. When you're sick, your back is just super stiff and tight, and you're like, what in the hell is going on? If you do a couple reps of like good mornings or something that will pump some blood into your back, no matter how small the range of motion is, you know, keeping in mind Ben Patrick, you know, zero pain. You're trying to do something that has zero pain. So maybe your range of motion is just really, really small. But once you get blood into that area, it's going to literally warm up. And I would bet that somebody that's, you know, struggling to even bend forward and just touch their knees, they'll be able to sink down much, much lower than that once you got a warm up. So, and that applies to all parts of the body, whether it's your shoulder or any joint. You're going to find you're going to be able to have more range of motion, and not always, you can't always knock all the pain out, but you can usually get rid of a lot of it. If you were to do some squats for the day and you're just trying to figure out, like, that is an annoying thing about doing leg training is that it is kind of hard to pump blood into the knee area. It's like if your elbow hurts, we know how to get blood into the triceps and biceps really easy because everyone's done these bro pump workouts forever, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to the knee, it's like kind of harder because you're like, well, a leg extension actually kind of even hurts.
Short range VMO pulses. There we go. Sorry.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah, little tiny movements, sometimes just done on one leg. If that one leg is hurt, then you might have to use both legs. You can do a terminal knee extension, a TKE, I believe it's called. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do. But again, the point is like try to find stuff that will promote putting a lot of blood into that area. And those are techniques and methods you can not only just use just for warm-ups in hopes that you're able to actually do the exercise that you want to do for the day, but it's great for rehabilitation and great for prehab.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed, and I think it's something that the powerlifters in the audience may not want to do this, but I think that all the bodybuilders or all the individuals who are lifting to just get stronger and get bigger in the audience are going to benefit from this. Increasing your working range of motion. Like you, and when I say range of motion, I don't mean just sitting and stretching, but the range of motion that you can work with under load, increasing that over time, your body will probably feel better. But I've found that like a lot of people have mentioned that like, I don't need to warm up as much before I get going in the gym. Now, when I say your working range of motion, for example, when doing something like a shoulder press, a lot of people will shoulder press, they'll come right here, they'll come back up, and they'll stay within that range. To increase your working range of motion on any movement that you do in the gym, just slowly, and don't focus on pushing the load too much, but with whatever movement you're doing, try to work within your fullest range of motion and push it a little bit in each training session. Don't push it to a place where you're like, oh, this feels unsafe or unstable. Just push it to a place that you haven't gone to before and that you can still create some force and come out. This also means that you should probably limit the amount of load that you use, because you're not going to, if you're not used to shoulder pressing down here, then you're not going to use 90 pounds with that, even though you could use 90 pounds right here. So maybe use something like 40 or 50 pounds and come down here, slowly see how it feels. Because what you're doing is now you're increasing the range of motion that you can create a good amount of force. And by doing that, you're going to find that over time, you'll be able to get stronger within that range of motion. And you'll have more control over those ranges, so that if you ever do hit those ranges with heavier loads, you're not unprotected. What happens to a lot of people is sometimes they're squatting, and they get into, let's say it's a little bit heavy and they squat a little bit fast and they reach a range of motion that they're not used to going into. Their body goes into a bad position because they're not used to that position, and they pull something, they tweak something. They're doing shoulder presses, they come too far down, or they're doing incline presses and they come too far down. And then something in their chest just moves the wrong way, or their shoulder moves the wrong way, because they're not used to being pushed or working in that range of motion. But if you have control within there, you'll find that you won't be getting as many tweaks when you do move in there. An example of that is not just Ben Patrick. Mike O'Hearn does a lot of that type of stuff. Like, he can work with the leg squats, leg presses, et cetera, all these movements. You look at his range of motion. I believe that's one of the big reasons why he has such longevity within this, because everything he's doing, he's not only able to move a lot of load, but he's also able to move a lot of load in these crazy large ranges of motion. And he has power within those positions.
Yeah. I remember watching him deadlift with you guys, and I was telling Mark, I'm like, dude, he's so big, but it looks like he's literally getting under the fucking bar.
It's like he turns into a ball.
Dude, this is the way he's set up, which, you know, if you looked at it like from a powerlifter's perspective, you'd be like, oh, that's so
inefficient.
Yeah. And it's like, no, but there he goes. He's, you know, outlifting everybody. It's fucking insane. But we did have a question, because we are live for the first time in a long time. So thank you, everybody, on the live chat right now that's kind of hanging out with us today. Please hit the like button, so that way more people can see this right now.
Yeah, but from
PB, he was just asking about just stretching in general. Like, you know, if you guys can talk about that, like, do you guys even bother? Like, do you do it before, after, or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of stretching, but now that I've been running, it's like, I feel like I have to, in order to kind of like open up my rusty gate that I have going on over here and be able to, my rusty trombone.
I was going
to
say, that sounds sexual.
Yeah.
I never understood why rusty trombone was sexual, by the way.
I don't know.
I'm going to Urban Dictionary.
Please, Urban Dictionary.
I mean, I know what it means, but it's interesting, interesting term. Anyway, what I wanted to mention also, kind of off of what Nsema was saying, is that I was saying earlier, use these like tiny ranges of motion. I didn't mean that you had to like stay in those range of motions forever, but you want to use a small range of motion to then be able to do a larger range of motion later. And so when you do your squat warm up, sometimes if other people are watching you, they might be like, that's not a squat. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. But just take your time with it. What you'll find is that even with squatting, you know, the bar and 135 pounds and not even going close to parallel, staying a couple inches above parallel, get a little bit of pump in the legs, and you're going to notice that your efficiency and the way that you move for the day is going to be way better. And you're going to also, when you get kind of potentially squished into a position that your body's not used to, you'll be able to work yourself into that range of motion, pull yourself into that range of motion yourself. It's just something really interesting, really important for people to keep in mind when it comes to strength training and powerlifting. As Nsema's pointing out, you should have these like working full range of motion movements, and you should be able to move yourself into those ranges of motion by yourself without the weight squishing you into those positions. However, it might take you a little bit, and that's okay. You might have to warm up and take your time. Mm-hmm. But I don't do a lot of stretching, but all I could ever say about stretching is like, I don't see how it's ever going to hurt or hinder. I know there's some people who are like static stretching, you know, before. I think people get way carried away with it. It's all about context and when and how and why you're doing something. could you potentially stretch, do an entire stretching workout for 45 minutes of your upper body when you're training your lower body for the day? Yeah, you sure could. How is that going to have some sort of negative impact on the stretch reflex or whatever? But I think a lot of that stuff has just overcomplicated the fact that many of us should pay some attention to stretching and having good workable ranges of motion.
Yeah. And on a note of the range of motion thing you mentioned, on short range of motion, yeah, I totally got what you're saying, because it's funny when you think about getting a pump, like when you're trying to purposefully get a bicep pump or a tricep pump, I'm literally working within tricep pump, I'm working within here really fast. Bicep pump, I'm working here. It's like you're literally trying to just pump as much blood as you can into that muscle group. And it's typically easier done with a short range of motion. But as far as stretching is concerned, yeah, like I'll do a few stretches or whatever before I start a workout, some very short stuff. Post-workout, I'll still do a few, like a few stretches, a little bit of mobility stuff. But I've been working a lot on using load to push me into positions. And when I say push me into positions, I more so mean like, for example, a real full range squat on my back, a high bar squat, right? When you're doing anything like that and you're trying to reach new ranges of motion, number one, when you do it with load, it's more beneficial and more helpful for you because that load, yeah, it does help you get a little bit deeper, but now you're resisting against that when you're coming out. Mm. So the change in terms of your mobility is actually more permanent because you're using load and your muscles are contracting out of those positions.
And you want to do this with like probably lighter weight if you haven't really done it much before. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're not trying to do this like if you're doing this with a shoulder press or like when I do incline presses, I'm coming all the way down here. When you're doing those movements, you don't want to use the weight that you're typically used to using, because you're not used to working within those ranges of motion. But over time, you'll slowly be able to increase the weight that you're doing in those ranges of motion because you're going to be getting stronger. So you're going to be getting stronger, but not only that, with a larger range of motion, you're going to stimulate more muscle fibers, so you might even get bigger using lighter load. And your body is going to overall feel better because now you have access to a lot of different positions that you never were able to get into, but not just access to them because you're stretching, but access with strength and control. And that yields a big benefit. But I still do static stretching. I still, mm-hmm. like, a lot of people still do those Smooth Panther videos and they're still getting benefit of it. So I still think it's useful. But, you know, people like Ben Patrick does no static stretching. And he's very, like, you know, he's adamant about that. Most of the reason why he's so mobile is he does all the movements he does with a large range of motion mm-hmm. and good control. Mm-hmm. So you can get a lot of those benefits, a majority of those benefits, if you do what we're talking about here, which is large ranges of motion, light load, control.
I have to take a poop, and I want you guys to let me know if you can hear it out here.
Okay.
So okay.
I'm going to do my best.
All right.
So let's kind of make sure we hear Mark's, and see if we can hear Mark's poop.
Got it. Well, so I can give you the Urban Dictionary definition of a rusty trombone.
A rusty trombone.
And it's exactly what I remember it was, not based on experience, but based on what I was told. Okay. So rusty trombone, this is from urbandictionary.com. When a guy gets a rim job and a hand job at the same time from one person, looks like the giver is playing a trombone with a, quote, rusty brown mouthpiece. Used in a sentence, Carol introduced Bob to a rusty trombone when she stuck her tongue in his ass and tugged on his cock. So visually, so if, you know, butt's in your face and then you're playing the trombone.
Hey, that sounds like it'd feel amazing.
Just trombone.
It sounds like it'd feel great. ain't nothing wrong with that. He's just like, I remember Tristan Schell at the old Super Trading was like, man, you haven't lived until...
He was something else.
You haven't lived until... All right, so for all the men in the audience, apparently we got a little spotty spot in our booty holes. And there's this guy, T-Shaw.
Prostate, yeah.
Is it your prostate?
I believe so.
Yes. I think, Andrew, you
milking
told me...
Milking the prostate. Yeah, was that on the movie Road Trip? They go to a sperm bank to donate, and the guy that plays Stifler, he played the exact same character in this movie too.
Yeah.
He tries to like hook up with the nurse or whatever, and she puts on a, you know, glove, and then she milks his prostate, and so he's like really confused. I think they cut this part out of the movie.
Uh-huh.
but he was like, does this mean I'm gay? Like, what does this mean? Because he was like very interested in getting it.
You're just trying
done.
To get all aspects of your sexual pleasure. That's all you're trying to get.
Yeah.
But I've always said, like, after Treston told me that was like 2016, 2015. He's like, you got to have a girl stick your finger in your butt. I'm like, only when I'm married, because that I can't have any woman in these streets saying I stuck my finger up his butt. like I can't just be letting that be out there. My wife's gonna do that, and if I like it, we're keeping it in the game. If I don't, then we don't keep it in the game. That's all.
I'm saving my booty holes V card for marriage.
Seriously, I'm serious. Like, I'm keeping my booty hole virginity. Y'all think this is a joke. I'm being perfectly real. But this is a mature, manly conversation.
Yeah,
we got something up there as men, and we got to venture with it.
We'll learn more about it.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, coming up probably with...
We hear it. Mark's taking a shit. We just heard his
heard something.
All right, but...
Get back on track a little bit here.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, Northside YEG... was just there goes Mark was just asking what do you guys think as far as bodybuilding, as far as healthy for you being, or sorry, I've read that totally wrong, basically which one's healthier for you as an athlete, bodybuilding or being an endurance athlete like triathlons and running marathons and that sort of thing?
Yeah, keys. I guess I'll start this one. I think I think anything, the safety is more so how deep do you take it? You mentioned this one day when we were talking about bodybuilding, because if bodybuilding is a very healthy thing to do for every athlete in every sport, actually, if they do an aspect of bodybuilding, which is just building muscle in certain areas, that builds your tendon strength, and overall you'll just become a more resilient individual because you have more muscle on your frame. But now, do you want to be a bodybuilder and take it to the pro level? Okay, when you start doing that, it can start becoming a little bit potentially, you're doing a lot of volume, you're more at risk. And the same thing when it comes to endurance athletes. Running isn't bad. Running is very helpful. But when you take it to the endurance stage, it could be something that can hamper your potential gains in other areas in terms of the amount of muscle you can build. If you're just talking general, I would yield towards the... I would honestly, I yield towards bodybuilding but I'd say that if you just do both at a middle capacity, bodybuilding just to try to build muscle and running like you are right now to build more endurance, I think that's a very healthy mix, but you don't have to take one over the edge.
Yeah. I think with running, you keep your, if you really push your heart rate a lot often, it has been shown to be fairly detrimental. So that would be but it's also, it takes a hell of an athlete to be able to get their heart rate up to like 180 and just ride that shit out. We had someone on the show that was talking about how their heart rate was just jacked and they were just plowing right through it. I don't think it was Zach Bitter, but it was some athlete like that we had on the show. And we were just
was
like,
it Ross Edgley?
It may have been. Mm. It was just wild. We were like, what? Like, that sounds fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So there is a danger, to being too extreme. But I think a little bit of endurance would be great for any bodybuilder, powerlifter, CrossFitter, jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Yes.
It's good for anyone to explore. Just as I would also say it's great for people to explore lifting some weights, throwing around some weights. So a combination of both. Why not utilize a little bit of both? Jay Cutler and... there's a handful of others. I can't think of them all right now, but there's a handful of others that have taken the disciplines of bodybuilding. Like Jay Cutler, I believe, last I checked, he still does, I think, 45 minutes three times a week on the Stairmaster.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, it's part of like what I like to do, and it's simple enough for me. He's like, I don't really want to run, and I don't want to do these other things. So he's like, but that's hard. 45 minutes a couple times a week, and... I think he has the thing going pretty quick. He's not like just on there just messing around. I think he's getting a good workout in. So mixing all that stuff together, I think, is the key. And then there also could be time periods where you shift some stuff out. Maybe Nsema for the next couple of weeks wants to work on getting strong, and maybe he puts a focus on it. But then maybe there's a competition coming up again for jiu-jitsu, and he's like, well, that's fun. Doing some of the – doing a 700-pound deadlift is cool, but – I don't necessarily need that. I need to focus more in on getting more time on the mat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can take a lot from, you can take a lot from CrossFitters, man. I know people were doing CrossFit before it was called CrossFit. It was just different modalities of training, right? So you did weight, like triathletes, right? That was before CrossFitters. Mm-hmm. But building those skills to a reasonable level in those areas will just allow you to be a healthier athlete. I won't say more, well, actually more resilient too, but your ability to run a mile without, actually you said you ran 40 something minutes the other day without stopping.
I think I did like 10 laps.
10 laps.
Around the track, two and a half miles or something. Yeah, I've never run that far before.
And this is the interesting thing. Like, okay, there are going to be people that hear that from you. You're not losing muscle right now. But then there's going to be the few people in the audience that are like, it's because of TRT. Well, no, because there's a lot of other bodybuilders I know that aren't, you know, that are also building their running skill, but they're continuing to lift weights. They're not losing any muscle. It's just how far are you taking it? Is it seeping into your progress in terms of what you're doing in the gym? Are you getting massively weak? Or are you feeling super fatigued with all the running you're doing? Or doesn't give you a level of fatigue here, but you're still able to perform in the gym. If you are, right, chances are you're continuing to gain muscle, you're continuing to get stronger, you're going to be perfectly fine. But now you're a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
You're much healthier.
It's also putting, there's this kind of concept of when you give people ideas, you try to present the ideas so it's in somewhat of a box. Because if you just tell someone to do something and you leave it up to them to be as creative as they'd like, it would be difficult for them to interpret something so vague and be able to deliver it back to you, like kind of the way that you were thinking. Mm. So you box things up. This is like a principle of just like communication in general. But even with communicating with yourself, it's helpful to put things, I'm not saying to put limitations on stuff. I'm saying to kind of box things up so that you can be more efficient. And that's exactly what running has done. It has kind of automatically made my workouts more efficient because I'm like, I don't really want to be in here for a long time. Like there's no reason for me to, you know, waste time in here. So I'm either doing this kind of workout, or this kind of workout. And then I just say, all right, which one is going to be? And then I'll just start going to do that one thing. And more recently, I brought deadlifts back in. I brought squats back in. And as my shoulder starts to feel a little bit better, I'll bring in some more bench pressing. So the workouts will be short and sweet. And they kind of automatically got a nice push. And they got the workouts got scheduled just by adding something else in. Because there's only so much time in a day. So I better be efficient or I'm not going to have an opportunity to lift at all.
Absolutely. Also, I guess something else we have to mention as far as not getting injured is respect all weights. Respect everything you're doing. Andrew had a great story. But before that, like, man, I tweaked my back. It was earlier this year.
I remember that. Yeah,
it was stupid. It was really stupid. I was just, you know, I was getting ready. I was doing some deadlifts. And I was just like kind of rushing through my warm up, you know, rushing through my plate, two plates, three plates, four plates or whatever. And at two plates, I think it was 225. I tweaked my back. I was lifting it and I come halfway up and it's just like, and I just felt a little movement in my spine. I'm like, all right, I'm going to feel that bitch. Right. And it was because I wasn't treating it like I did, like when I get to a top, you know, six or whatever, I wasn't treating it like that. I also didn't do what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast. I just didn't get a lot of blood in that area. I just went in cold. Typically, I'm pretty good with that, but it's just one of those things where you just shouldn't take the risk. You should just spend the extra time, warm that area up, do just some movement. I should have maybe done more reps with 135, maybe done 10, 15 reps with 135, get a good feeling, get a good pump there, and then move up. I would have been perfectly fine if I did that.
Yeah, take your time with shit.
I was just going to ask, but how do you get a lot of blood into the lower back? Because that's really where I know I'm fucked up, but like where I hear a lot of people kind of mention, you know, like, oh, it's the lower back. It's maybe there's mid and upper back injuries, but it's almost always the lower back. How do we protect our lower back?
Lots of ways to get a good pump going in the lower back. You got, you know, things like a 45 degree, any sort of back extension piece would be great. Utilizing a band and doing some good mornings. If the range of motion on any of the stuff hertz, you know, just figure out different ways of rigging stuff up. When it comes to a band, you can actually hook a band to like a post or a pole somewhere, and it could be you know, a couple feet away from you. It can be a kind of on an angle, and you could do good mornings that way. If you can't bend, sometimes you can't bend even far enough if you really hurt your back to even just loop the damn band around like in the back of your neck and stuff like that. Dumbbells, you know, dumbbell deadlifts. Like, I don't know why people don't do more of those, but those are fucking awesome.
They are.
And the weight gets to stay right next to you. So you can actually kind of do like a hybrid deadlift slash squat type of movement. Something that I have found that actually is really beneficial is to, I'll sit on a bench, kind of like in a box squat position, you know, the feet are out a little bit wide. And then from there, I'll just actually kind of shoot my butt up in the air. And then I'm in a good morning position. And then I'll good morning myself up. Cause sometimes like if I come in here first thing in the morning, and it's a colder day, me like thinking about like getting under the squat bar and all that stuff, it's just, I'm not going to have good feedback from that. I could go and do it, but I'm going to be like wincing and making weird faces and shit. And so I'd rather figure out like, okay, let me spend a little bit of time doing something else and I'll be warm enough. But back to the lower back stuff, like that exercise right there helped me to kind of warm up my lower back. Just grabbing a plate, even a 10-pound plate, and just moving in a like kind of some sort of deadlift fashion with it would be good. And just there's a lot of different machines that you can utilize. And let's not forget about the big three, you know, from
Stuart McGill.
Those are fantastic. Things like planks and bird dogs and side planks and stuff like that are all fantastic.
First off, I was thinking of the bacon thing you mentioned, but we'll talk about that later.
Bacon burger.
Yeah, but there's two movements I actually oddly like. I know it's not a lower back movement, but the just seated mid-back row, like the seated row, I like actually doing that. And what I'll usually do is I'll usually try to lean back a little bit, and actually I'll lean into my lower back, and I'll row like this. And I'll try to contract my lower back when doing it. So I'll like... On a seated row, most people are seated here or they're sometimes leaning forward. I'll lean into my back so it feels like I'm contracting it, and I'll row into it continuously. I get a really good pump in my lower back doing that. And something with no weight, but you'll look kind of interesting in your gym doing it, is the Supermans. You guys know the Supermans on the ground where you go like that and you come
those
up.
Those are tough.
They're tough. But
great exercise.
Exactly. When you get up from that, you're going to feel again, you're going to feel a lot of activation in your lower back. And another one is the, I don't know what Doug Brignoli calls it, but it's those, you know, do you know what they're called?
I don't know what they're called, but yeah, that's, I do try to do them, but like my back is so fucked up, I can't even do them.
Some people feel like a lack of activation with that. Like that's when you really have to pay attention.
Yeah. He recommends it doing two ways. You can sit like at the end of a box and basically you can hold either a dumbbell or no weight, and you're basically doing what you're doing on the row, but where you're just holding the weight right here and you're forward and then you're up. But what I found that helped me was actually just like putting my butt high up on like the pad over here or just on the wall and then kind of doing it that way where you're down, kind of letting yourself go a little bit and then really bringing everything back up. It does work. Like I said, it hurts me, so I haven't been able to do it. So that's why I was trying to figure out some other ways to get some blood back there.
What you said about the row is amazing. Like that is unbelievable. Like I totally forgot about like upper body exercises, but the fastest way to warm yourself up is through your upper body. And a great way to ensure that you have warmed up any body part is just to get your overall body temperature up. So you could potentially use the assault bike and just go on there and, you know, go like at a pace that's reasonable when you first start. And then maybe, you know, every 30 seconds, maybe you push hard for like five. Like you're just warming up. You're just trying to get the body moving. And then another thing, this is kind of a weird one that I found can really help pump a lot of blood into. You don't really feel it pumping blood in your lower back, but I've noticed that my lower back feels way better after doing it, and that's leg extensions. I'm not sure why. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not sure if it's just because like your heart's like, hey, we got to get blood like down towards that lower half down there. Let's send it that way. Do like 2-3 sets of leg extensions and get your legs burning like a motherfucker. Like have them burn pretty good. Do maybe a couple drop sets or something like that. And I, for me, I noticed that right away my back is loosened up a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to say my son is really good at doing those Supermans.
Yeah.
When he's on the ground, he fucking, he freaks out. That shit's tough. And then also what really fires up my back in a bad way, but I could definitely see like it would be a good back pump, is just changing his diapers. Holy shit. Cause you're just like right here and you're trying to like make sure he doesn't fall off the thing, trying to make sure you don't get shit everywhere. It's terrible.
Yeah. I like doing the dishes.
Yeah. Doing the dishes is really bad too. That's more painful though.
While you were talking, Mark, I was thinking, cause I was starting to get hungry and you were mentioning that you had those patties that had bacon inside of them. And I was just like, when I get home, because I have the Hop Dottie patty sitting out right now.
Fatty patties.
I think I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to purchase some bacon, and I'm going to wrap it around the patties, and then I'm going to cook it.
You mad, man?
Yeah, because like, oh, fuck. After you said that, I was just like, I need to implement some bacon into my burgers and not just put it on top. I'm going to chef it up, man.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Piedmontese has some of the greatest stuff ever. Like,
they really do, though.
I'm so pumped. Like, they don't have the bacon and ground beef burger, but maybe not yet. Maybe we'll work on it with them to make it. But,
oh, yeah.
They just have some ridiculous stuff. That standing rib roast, like, my brother has been talking. Like, we ate it at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then right away, as soon as Thanksgiving was over, like, we need it for Christmas and we need it for New Year's. And, like, we're all fired up and excited about it.
Yeah.
But the best, I believe, the best ribs that you'll ever have are also from Piedmontese. So if you're someone that likes ribs, or if you're somebody that doesn't like ribs and you're like, I don't get enough meat every time I have ribs, get some ribs from Piedmontese. They're fucking huge. Oh. And they're just unbelievable. They are so, goddamn, I get excited talking about it. They're so good. It is so good.
Yeah, literally, like, I feel like we as far as companies that have been able to work with Piedmontese, we've been working them for a while now. And mm-hmm. we're like just so happy that we've been able to get on them, because when you compare their meat to a lot of others, there's not the, no in terms comparison. Of macros, in terms of like, yeah, it's like they got them cows right.
And we help blow them up too. Me and my brother and being part of this podcast has been huge. The Bavette steaks and stuff like that. It's like we really screwed up because can't even barely get them anymore. My dad's all mad about it. My dad's he's actually is really mad. He's like pounding his fist on my counter the other day. He's like, those damn Bavettes. He's like, I keep waiting. I keep checking the site and they're not there. He's like, I don't know what's going on with that.
Dude, my son loves
like, hey,
my son loves the Bavettes too. Like,
yeah,
those are his, because they're like, I don't know, all the meat's really tender, but for some reason those ones, like, we're able to like really like peel it off and then give it to him, and he gets super fired up. It's like the coolest thing ever, like just being able to see him eat steak. But yeah, we wouldn't steer you guys wrong. You guys have to go get some Piedmontese beef as soon as possible. It's amazing. So head over to Piedmontese.com. That's PIEDMONTESE.com. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT for 25% off your entire order. That's crazy. And then if your order is $150 or more, you get free 2-day shipping. Again, Piedmontese.com, promo code POWERPROJECT. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Let's switch gears just a little bit. Still talking about injuries, but let's kind of talk upstream and downstream. So if you have an injury in a particular area, like let's say your shoulder bothers you a lot, there's a lot of utility. It can be really, really helpful to do something like work on your grip, which might be something that you're not even, it's just like not registering with you that your fingers and your forearm and even like certain parts of the bicep and tricep, they all have to do certain things when you hold a good weight in your hand. Mm-hmm. Everything has to contract. And so when your shoulder hurts, it's good to work your biceps. It's good to work your triceps. It's good to work your grip. And then also you can start to say, okay, well, you know, again, the front of my shoulder hurts. Maybe there's some stuff I can do for the back. Maybe there's another thing that's interesting too is sometimes you have incredible pain in the front of your shoulder and it will hurt. Like when you go to bench press, you'll feel it as you come down about 3/4 of the way. You're like, oh my God, that sucks. What you'll notice though is that you can go and do a row and it's almost the same exact motion. and there's no pain because there's not the same amount of like stress on the shoulder. So maybe you can mimic the movement that you're looking to go and do again by getting in some good range of motion via doing some other type of exercises. And again, you know, kind of thinking of the knee, if the knee hurts a lot and you can't do any sort of extending of the knee, you actually might be looking at it the wrong way. You actually can do some extension of the knee because every time you do a leg curl, your leg would straighten and your leg would bend just in the very same way. Now, it's not working the same muscles, but it's a way I noticed for myself having knee tendonitis in my right knee for 7,000 years that some leg curls really help that issue to dissipate before my workouts.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about the grip, but let's also talk about the feet a little bit. A lot of injuries can probably be caused because
I'd rub your feet, by the way, just so you know. care about you that much.
Thank you. No, I'd rub all your feet in here, man. I've been told I give good foot massages.
God, that would be great for all three of us just to sit down, like
sit in a circle and just
rub each other's feet.
I'm too ticklish.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm a little ticklish too, but I would, you know, I'd still give it up.
Man up for us, man.
My cankles, though, I always have huge knots in my ankles. Yeah. That shit feels great. Sometimes it like sends a shocking pain all the way up to like my hip, though. Like, it's pretty bad. I don't know why.
What else do you want us to? You want us to keep working our way up?
Yeah, you could just follow the calves. Follow the like the shock wave all the way through. It goes right to my. Just kidding.
Right to your parts, yeah, the groin.
Right to the anus.
Oh, well, you know what? When you went to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. That went down. Oh, the rusty trombone. I heard that.
Rusty trombone. I'll get back to what I was talking about feet after this, but.
Man, I was gassy. It wasn't even that much like poop. It was just like.
Oh, yeah.
But man, that felt so good. I was really like knotted up.
I think we heard feeling. You fart in there. I think nice. We heard you fart in there. Nice. Can't wait for Susan Brandt to come onto the show because. You want to read what a rusty trombone is one more time? You know what it is.
I lost like, it. Basically, getting like, a rim job while getting a tug job.
Yeah. So you know Treston Shell.
Oh, I thought it was a little different than that.
Oh, what'd you think it was?
No. I thought it was getting a blow job after anal.
No.
Because that sounds a little more rusty to me.
Oh!
Yeah. No.
Oh!
No, because it simulates like you're
that's
playing.
That's a dirty girl.
Playing a trombone.
I thought it was ATM.
Ass to mouth.
Got it. That's dirty.
Hey. Nope. It has to happen at the same time to be officially a rusty trombone.
Trust the show at the old Super Trading. He was talking about how he's like, yeah, I love getting my booty eaten. And sometimes my lady will stick a finger in it. And I was just like, Treston, he's like, don't knock it till you try it and see him. I'm like, you know what? Because he said there's
a good point.
There's a spot up there. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, well, when I get married, I'm going to have my wife do that at least once because, you know, I'm not going to do that before I'm married because I can't have people in these streets saying they stuck their finger up my butt.
People running around town.
Yeah.
But there's
saying all kinds of crazy.
You don't want
shit
your booty hole to be a hoe.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm keeping my booty hole virginity. But I just, yeah. What do you think about?
We got issues, yo.
Hey, man, whatever feels good, go for it. You know?
I can't wait for us to dive into, like, I can't wait for Susan to come because I'm going to learn a lot about you. We're going to learn a lot about
There's
you.
There's not much more to know. I'm a dirt bag.
Hey, all dudes are, right? Like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we're all just fucking filthy animals.
Yeah, this is true. But all the right. feet, the feet Back need to be feet. Really strong because like, especially with like the shoes that you wear and it's, if you don't walk a lot, most people have really weird, not even weird. It's normal nowadays to have your feet kind of crunched in because of the shoes you wear.
All smashed together.
Mm-hmm. All smashed together. But the problem with that is that fucks with your force production. Now you're thinking of trying to produce force through your feet when you're squatting, when you're deadlifting, even when you're benching and trying to create leg drive, the force you create isn't as good. So, number one, doing something like wearing actually flat, more so maybe some minimal shoes feels uncomfortable initially, right? But it will help your feet get stronger over time, right? And then secondly, doing things like I've been loving doing more sled work because that's been one thing that's been that like really allows you to really produce force through your feet and strengthen your feet more than a lot of other movements that you're going to try to do in the gym. If you can get yourself a sled that you really push, heavy sled pushes, you don't even have to run with it. Just walk and push, create force through the feet. That'll strengthen the feet, which will then have really good upstream effects on your knees, glutes, that lower back, all those things.
Yeah, I think I want to say maybe I saw Shannon Penna, Ron Penna's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She posted about the yoga toe thing.
Yeah, I got some of those.
And I think, you know, sometimes maybe it's a little inconvenient to like pop those things on and stuff, but our feet really are compromised. They really are smashed together. And if you're looking at your feet and your pinky toe has become like best friends with the other toe next to it, and they're all like hugging up on each other, you might want to look into something like that to get the toes to kind of relax a little bit and just figure out ways of maybe getting out of your shoes a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
For some training, it's like I feel kind of uncomfortable pushing the sled without anything because like we have the turf and it just is like kind of – it's almost like kind of slippery at a certain point. But you want to try to find as many different training methods as you can where you don't have your shoes on.
Yeah.
If possible.
And they don't sponsor us. I'm gonna let you guys know about them. That company Vivo, their shoes,
they got great shoes. Yeah,
their barefoot shoes, their training shoes. I think they're called the Primus Lights or whatever. Very good. I have some of their hiking shoes. I purchased these, by the way, guys. Like I purchased these shoes. Their hiking shoes are good, but the thing is that they're wide. And they have a minimal sole. So your feet are feeling everything and doing the work rather than, you know, a lot of these shoes that, you know, have a lot. They're super comfortable. They're super padded, but they're also narrow. Like I can't wear narrow shoes without a level of discomfort these days, you know? So that's why all the shoes I usually wear, even when I wear my freaking Crocs, they're great because they're wide.
And I don't understand how Vivo, those shoes, they don't look like clown shoes the way some other like barefoot
shoes. Yeah, where they're wider,
They somehow look, I don't know, they look normal.
Still aesthetic.
Yeah, they still look good.
And I forgot, there's another brand, I think it's called Xero.
Yeah, spelled with the X, yeah.
X-E-R-O. I saw a guy, Jason Lane, he does a lot of the KOT stuff and breathing stuff, but those shoes also look pretty good too. Mm-hmm. These are two companies that have barefoot shoes that actually look good. There's a lot of other companies that make barefoot shoes and you're just like, I don't want to be seen in public with those on.
Yeah.
Right. But Vivo and Xero, great shoes. You guys should check them out.
Yeah. To look more aesthetic. A lot of times the shoe comes in like super narrow. And if you ever like, I mean, just flip your shoe over and look at the bottom of it and look at the bottom of your foot. They don't look the same at all. Like you're like, that just doesn't like mathematically, like there's no scenario where that would work out unless you had like really, really tiny, skinny feet or something. If you're real petite, maybe.
Yeah. And you look like, and this is another thing, you look at like indigenous people's feet. Like you were showing me that picture from that one guy.
Yeah.
Doing
those squats. Yeah. And his feet, you do a double take on the feet because you're like, those are hands,
I think. They look like freaking hands.
Yeah.
That's how our feet are supposed to be. Our feet are supposed to be able to, like, we're not going to be able to do all the things that we do dexterously with our hands, but our feet should be able to spread, grip, grab, like we're supposed to be able to have pretty powerful feet, but most of us, because of the shoes we've worn over the years, most Americans don't have strong feet, and that's probably leading to a lot of lower back issues, knee injuries, etc. And you could reverse that if you start taking care of them and strengthening them.
So I got so many questions about shin splints since I started running. People have tons of questions about it. I'm like, I don't have any issue with it. You know, I've been training.
Tib raises, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tib raises. You know, luckily for me, I did a lot of the knees over toes stuff, you know, well before I started running. And then even before I ran into Ben Patrick, I've been doing things like dragging the sled. And I've been doing a lot of activities that not necessarily work like the tibialis in particular, but things that like inadvertently would work your whole entire like lower leg. So and just being an athlete too, I think that sometimes because I was an athlete so long ago that people kind of probably forget, but I've, you know, when I was a kid, I did a lot of stuff and it required a lot of change of direction. And there's a lot of strengthening of the ankles and of the feet and of your shins and calves, whenever you're doing pretty much any sport where you're like running and moving around. So anyway, you know, you want to think about injuries in terms of like upstream, downstream stuff. And it's been really beneficial for me to do some tibialis work. I don't really mess with, I see that we have the individual one. That one lit my foot.
I like it.
That one lit me up the other day.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that called? It's like a tib raise machine or something?
It's a single leg tib bar, but it's from the Home Gym Guys. Let's see. Yeah, it's from the Home Gym Guys. It's a
pretty cool product. And man, it doesn't take much weight to fatigue you on an exercise like that.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, check out the Home Gym Guys on Instagram. You can grab that single leg tip bar. It's not super expensive, but the great thing about it is that with the single leg tip bar, with the dual leg, I found that when I was doing the single leg, one of my tips is a little bit weaker than the other. But with the one that you do both legs, I was compensating with one of my legs that was stronger and pumping out those reps when my other one fatigued. Mm. So the single leg allows you to strengthen both tibs to the same, like, you know, you'll have one that's weaker, so it'll work that out for you. I've been loving it because it's been super helpful for my knee. I don't run as much as Mark does, but as I've been adding running into my routine, I'm not getting any type of shin discomfort. And I was doing some really deep squatting the other day, and really driving my knees over my toes. And I know that by the tip strengthening that I've been doing has actually been super helpful for helping me to be able to drive into that position. I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can actually do like a tibialis raise as you're doing a squat.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird thing, but it's almost like you're mentally, you're trying to like lift your toes, but you don't have to really lift them. Mm-hmm. You just try to lift them as you're going down. It will flex that bottom part of your foot and you'll feel your knees bend like way easier.
Mm-hmm. And you know how we were talking about greater ranges of motion or being strong within greater ranges of motion? Think about what you're doing with the tibialis bar. The single leg tibialis bar is getting your ankle into that deep position and moving yourself back, but now it's with load. So what this is going to allow, it's going to allow for you when you're squatting and you lack that ankle mobility, you're actually able to move into deeper positions because you have more ankle mobility because you've been strengthening it with the tibialis raises. Tibialis raises move your ankle within those ranges with load. So now you're going to be able to move in and out of those ranges in an easier motion, which might not be, for a lot of people, ankle mobility is a limiting factor in terms of their squat.
Oh, yeah.
So this will help increase your ankle mobility and also ankle strength, another thing that could help prevent injuries.
Oh, I noticed when I was using that machine that it was like forcing my foot forward and I was getting a stretch in the tibialis, but also getting a stretch. I could even feel it in the back of my, almost like Achilles, mm-hmm. as you're doing the range of motion. So it felt really good. On top of that, you know, there's that exercise, you know, if you're not into like purchasing a bunch of stuff, you can also just lean up against the wall. There's plenty of videos of Ben Patrick demonstrating him just leaning up against the wall. Just put your butt up against the wall and just raise your toes up. And you do mm-hmm. that like 20 times. And next thing you know, your shins are on fire. Do a couple sets of that and you'll get some pretty good response out of it.
Yeah.
More recently, I bought some ankle weights and I've been doing, I know we have like the monkey foot thing as well, and you can hook a dumbbell to it. I got some ankle weights and I just utilized them the other day and did a bunch of different stuff. Just did some leg raises, mm-hmm. Did some kind of like kickback type of thing. And all that stuff, it's just getting like a lot of blood into areas where maybe you don't really work individually or even independently. And it just felt really good. So if you have a knee problem and you start to go upstream and downstream, it's like, well, we start with the feet and then you work your way up into the hip. If you're working all those things, the odds of you being able to fix yourself and to start to feel a lot better are going to be massively increased. Plus, if you keep all those areas strong, then if you're doing a sport, especially something like jiu-jitsu, you'll be a lot more resilient to injury.
That Absolutely. Stretch sounds like it would feel amazing, but
it does feel good.
Yeah. The one thing that I noticed when we were doing, well, when I was doing, I don't know if you guys are still doing them, but like the 10 minute squats, just like the prolonged squats, my tibs and my ankles would be like, they would probably be the most fatigued out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just accredited it to just trying to balance myself, but it could be just because of weak tibs.
Yeah, because when you're in a squatting position, your tib is now activated. Your mm-hmm. tibia, like, because when you bring your toes towards your body, mm-hmm. you're activating your tibs. Well, when you're squatting, you're bringing your knees over your toes, which activates your tibialis, uh-huh. right? And if you have weak tibs, that position is going to be very uncomfortable for you to sit in, and then you're going to have to come out of it. So a lot of people, when they're sitting in a squat position for a prolonged period of time, one of the things is like, ooh, my ankle and my tibs are feeling fried,
mm-hmm.
but Yeah, that's why. Yeah, those the tib bar is severely underrated, and it's a piece of equipment that if you have a garage gym, or if you want to take it to your gym, or even if you just want to do it at home and have like a few plates that you use at home with, it's something that you should have.
Yeah,
when you're watching TV.
Yeah, when we went on that extremely vigorous short run a while back when we were trying to catch up to that guy that's always jogging around the area.
Yeah.
My tibs were shot, dude. I had shin splints and all that shit. I was like,
really?
I can't believe how sore I am. Like the next day, like we ran like half a lap. I don't even know what it was, but like I remember I was pretty torched after that quick little run.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I am just not healthy.
That's a piece of equipment that's going to help a lot of people's knees, a lot of people's knees and a lot of people's ankles. That one thing.
You got to give it a shot then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to take us on out of here, Andrew?
Sure thing.
Before we do,
y'all,
step up your clothing game.
All right.
Partner with a really cool clothing brand, Viori Clothing. Okay. And I
went on a shopping spree.
Oh, you did?
I did. I bought a lot of Christmas presents. So.
Nice.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. They got great stuff. I was able to buy stuff for like a bunch of different members of my family. They got great stuff for women and for men. So you got to check it out.
And you can wear it in the gym, but you can also wear it out. Like it's amazing clothing that looks good in the gym, but also outside of it. It's so comfortable. So check them out. Andrew, how can they get it
now? Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of a hard one to spell, so I actually had to write it out just now. But you guys got to head over to vioriclothing.com/powerproject. That's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/powerproject. And you'll receive 20% off your first order. No code needed. You guys, as soon as you guys go there, you'll see a banner across the top saying that you're going to receive 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. And I'll go ahead and just wrap things up. Thank you everybody for checking out today's episode. If you guys are still here on the live chat, please hit that like button if you guys are digging today's episode. And if you're catching it after the live feed, please hit that like button if you guys appreciate anything that was said today. And leave us a comment down in the comment section below. Let us know what you guys liked the most. And follow the podcast at Mark Bell's Power Project on Instagram, at MB Power Project on TikTok and Twitter. My Instagram and Twitter is at I Am Andrew Z. I've been talking a lot about Halo shit on Twitter. So if you guys are into video games, hit me up there. It's been a lot of fun because Halo's been amazing. And Seema, where are you at?
And Seema Enyang on Instagram and YouTube. And Seema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter, Mark.
I'm wearing the Viori, I think they're jeans, but I don't know what they call them on their website, but they're super nice. They're kind of
the Meta pants, M-E-T-A.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of they're kind of like maroonish, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. They're super comfortable. They're also like really lightweight. Like, I wouldn't normally try to like run in these, but if I just forgot my normal stuff, I could go for a run in them. It's nice to have jeans that have like some four-way stretch. I know there's a lot of companies that make that nowadays, but these are comfortable. I think they look good. They're also not like some of the jeans nowadays are like just insanely tight, and like I don't mind like wearing a little tight here and there, but like I don't want to show everything all the time, you know. So anyway, I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. Catch y'all later. Bye.